Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast. This is Tim Reedy. This week I'm joined by Therese Bouchard, a blogger for BeliefNet. Welcome, Therese.
Thank you, Tim.
Now, Therese, you are the blogger for, the name of your blog is Beyond Blue. Maybe you can describe it to our listeners who are not familiar with it.
It's Beyond Blue, a spiritual journey to mental health. It sort of combines psychology and spirituality in one blog that is written for people who are hurting, going through depression and anxiety, sometimes addiction.
Now, how long has the blog been going on now?
It was launched in December of 2006, so it's about a year and a half now. And we did a trial in October of 2006 to see if there was any need for it, and there definitely was. So that's why they launched it 2 months later.
Now, in your blog, for those who are not familiar with it, you write a lot about your own struggles with depression, and the blog is very personal. You talk about, you have a recent clip talking about some of your more difficult days, and you talk about things like your sex life. Is this a challenge to talk about these sort of personal things, or is it therapeutic in a way?
It's both. It's hard and it's therapeutic. When I was in my suicidal days, I told God that if I ever felt better, I would make this my mission. And I very much believe, more strongly than about anything, that this is my mission to really help those who are hurting in the same spot try and grab some hope for themselves. Walker Percy had this great quote that you escape despair by becoming invincible under God, and being transparent under God. And in a way, you become transparent, you unite with your readers in communion, and that's the way you escape the despair. And I think it's true. It's the 12th step of all 12-step movements that you share your experience, strength, and hope, and in so doing, you try to hang on to recovery for yourself. And that's been very true in my life. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It's always involves some sort of or some feelings of embarrassment and shame, I think, on my part as I'm starting to shed the stigma of mental illness. You know, a part of it is still always there within me, so I'm never going to be totally unashamed, but I think the more that I do it, the easier it will be and the more therapeutic.
Now, for our listeners who, you know, are interested in spirituality, but also perhaps interested in undergoing therapy, maybe we can talk about some of the differences here between, say, spiritual direction and therapy. Could you contrast those, compare them for our listeners?
Well, yeah, it's hard. I think spiritual direction, because it can become intertwined. For example, right now, my therapist has a spiritual background, and she's very spiritual in her perspective of helping me to treat my depression. And when during a session, we talk about some different visuals, some different cognitive behavioral techniques that I can use, she also throws in, well, what are you doing to pray about it? And I love that because it connects two very important parts of my recovery, two important tools. I did have a therapist before who was a little bit afraid of religion, and we kept it mostly cognitive behavioral strategies, some just very psychological tools, and that was helpful as well, but then I got my spiritual direction from another source. In general, I try to get my spiritual direction from priest friends of mine, different spiritual companions along the way, because I do think it's important to have a therapist who is licensed and is foremost a therapist who has been licensed by the state, is up on the different medications, different techniques. I think that, you know, is very important. Now, if she has also a spiritual dimension to her, then, you know, that's great. I feel like I won the prize with my therapist now. But I think in choosing to go either or, I think you first want to, if you're experiencing depression or anxiety, I think you first want to find a therapist. And then, you know, if she's not being able to meet your spiritual needs, then go and try and get spiritual fulfillment elsewhere too.
Well, I think that's helpful. Thank you. You talk about medication. Some people may be afraid of, if they're undergoing, they're having problems with depression, about perhaps taking medication. What has your experience been with medication, and you feel like it can definitely help people?
I do, but I was a hard case to convince. I was in college when I first started experiencing depression big time, and I really fought against my counselor, who suggested that I take medication. I was suicidal at the time, but I just would not budge because I thought that was a spiritual war inside me, and that was by going through the pain, by going through the agony, I would somehow emerge as a more spiritual person. I looked to the saints, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, Saint Teresa of Avila. I thought they were in pain and they emerged as saints because of their pain. I finally did a considerable amount of research at the time about the biological basis of depression, and I read a book that forever changed the way I thought of it, called Colette Dowling's You Mean I Don't Have to Feel That Way. She talks about, you know, the very physiological basis of depression, and that you have to approach it as an illness. It is not a spiritual weakness or a spiritual, it's not going to take away from your spiritual life at all if you are on a medication. But I fought really hard against it for about a year and a half in college. When I finally did take medication and found a combination that worked, it made praying so much easier. It made everything easier. It made studying easier, laughing, relaxing. I finally knew how God, I think, wanted me to be. And then after I had my second child, I sort of went through the same predicament, and I actually went through 23 different combinations of medication, and wow, Nothing worked. And so at that point, I gave it up again and started to sort of revert back to my black and white thinking of my college days. And I decided that I wouldn't take medication, that I was just going to do it through yoga, through meditation, through spiritual readings and that sort of thing. And it was my husband who said, I can't be a caretaker my entire life. I mean, I couldn't drive. I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything, just the bare minimum. And he said, you know, you've got to get real about this. And so then we went to Johns Hopkins, and I finally found a good doctor, and we found a medication that worked. And it makes the spiritual life there. You know, it makes it you're alive again. I guess I just want to reiterate the importance of taking medication for a very physiological disease.
Well, I think that's helpful, because I think you're right. There are a lot of people who struggle with that exact question, whether this is something that this is a burden that they have to bear, and that other people have borne it without the aid of medication, as you say, saints. So why shouldn't I be able to? But as you say, it can facilitate prayer. It can help you in the spiritual life, and that's important to remember.
Yeah, exactly.
Now let's look to Scripture. Are there places in Scripture for people to look who are undergoing depression that would be helpful?
You know, when I was in fourth grade and I struggled with anxiety, I would sing the words of Be Not Afraid in the shower, and I keep on coming back to those words of Jesus and the Psalms, and, you know, especially the readings after Jesus has risen, and it said, be not afraid, I send you my advocate is with you. I have to remember that the Holy Spirit is here helping us, helping each and every one of us who deals with depression and anxiety, and that when we gather together, you know, there he is among us. I think those Easter readings really are helpful as a sense of hope, because hope, I think, more than anything, is really the antidote of depression. Hope will take the scared person with anxiety hiding in the closet, hiding from life. Hope will take that person out and commune again with the world and make life possible.
Now, your blog, obviously there are people who read and respond and comment who are going through depression themselves. Is that your target audience, or do you have a larger group in mind?
Obviously, you know, people who struggle with depression and anxiety first and foremost, but also their family. And there was just a report, I think, that said practically everyone, at least 50%, or a quarter of the people of today go through a mental, not illness, but go through some kind of mood disorder sometime in their life, whether it's depression or anxiety, a quarter. So if you think about the family members and the bosses and cousins, everybody is affected by someone who has a mood disorder. So I want to reach out to them too. For example, we just did a video, my husband and another man who's married to a manic depressive, and I said the video was being married to a manic depressive, and that was one of the more popular ones, I think, because the people who are living with mental illness also, they need to get educated, and they need to know, they need to be familiar with all these character traits, and they need a support group as well, because it's very difficult to live with a person who has a mood disorder. I mean, my husband is a saint for living with me, and so I've started to see a lot of more family members come and read about their spouses, their daughters, their sons, and then people in general, I think, who go through a hard time can also take something away from the blog. I know people who go to AA who aren't alcoholics, but but the 12 steps really help them. So no, I mean, I'd say, you know, for anyone who experiences a blip of depression and anxiety, or for the person who is in a severe state, it's both.
Now, what kind of relationship do you have with your readers? You must get a lot of comments, people responding. Is it a lot of back and forth you have with them?
Yeah, it is, especially since I started Beyond Blue support group on the social networking side of BeliefNet. It's one of the biggest groups. It has about 800 members, and it's, to me, sort of overwhelming. I'm supposed to be the moderator, and I can't really read all of the threads that are posted because there's so many. I mean, people post, I guess, maybe like 10 a day. And just reading through, I mean, it's exhilarating, and it's really exciting to see all these members, you know, come together under the Beyond Blue support group. So there is that interaction, and it's very personable. I also have to be careful, though, of boundaries, because I don't want to lose sight of my recovery and trying to save the world.
Because there are a lot of people out there who are dealing with some serious issues, and you can't be a therapist every single one of them. So, now, would you have any audience advice for our audience or our listeners who may be suffering from mental illness or depression but haven't done anything about it yet?
I think the first step is always education. It was education for me back in college to really read up on the biological basis of depression. I mean, that to me was more relieving than anything, to know that it wasn't my fault, to know that it was something, it was true DNA. And I also then started printing out this last past time when I went through Hopkins. I read almost everything that goes through Hopkins, and I'll give it to my husband. And having him read the research as well has been very
This is Johns Hopkins, right?
Johns Hopkins,
You live
sorry.
Near there, right?
Yeah, Johns Hopkins, right. So I think education is first. I think reaching out is second. Whether it be a friend, a teacher, the internet, there's so many different sources right now for support that I think it's just absolutely essential that a person gets support. I call my staples diet, exercise, sleep, medication, and prayer. So I think to concentrate on those first and foremost. And then, you know, try and do the extras when you can, therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, all those suggestions. But I think you can really learn those online or at a community support group.
Now, you mentioned prayer, and we talked earlier about some scripture passages that you find helpful. Are there certain Catholic writers or saints that you also look to for nourishment?
I love St. Therese. In fact, right now I'm wearing a St. Therese medal and St. Therese earrings. whenever I feel scared, like I did yesterday when I posted a very intimate video, I hang on to my medal of St. Therese. And to me, it packs the power of about 5 Valium. Because it just, I know that she went through a lot of anxiety herself. And I guess I find comfort in that. And I also have received, I guess I'm an old-fashioned Catholic in that I've prayed for signs to St. Therese for roses from heaven, and every time that I really, really have been in need of a sign, she has sent me some. So she's a source, and I love St. Therese of Avila's prayer too, that everything's changing except for God, and God is there. God is all you need. God is all you need. I love that too.
Now, you mentioned this video you put up yesterday, and you were having a dark day, as you said. Are you feeling a little better today?
I'm faking it. There's a term, you fake it till you make it, in 12-step groups. And today is sort of one of those days where I'm faking it. But, you know, I know that it won't be this scary, I know that I won't feel like this forever. So I'm at least more hopeful this time through.
Well, as you said on your video, these things can come on. You can be fine for long periods of time, and then it can come on like a thunderstorm. It just arrives. There's no warning. It just comes.
Exactly. So that's why we're St. Therese.
Well, again, the blog is Beyond Blue, and you can find that on the BeliefNet website.
Right.
And we will, of course, put a link to it up with our podcast. But again, we want to thank Therese Borchard for talking about these personal issues and for hopefully helping some of our listeners who might be dealing with these issues. So I hope you can come again soon to talk more about this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of the America Magazine podcast. Online this week, we have another video segment, a discussion with Father Jim Martin and Father Michael Tuwitt and Emily Brennan from Columbia University about the new production of A Man for All Seasons, which is playing here in New York. Also, we have the original reviews of the A Man for All Seasons, both the play and the film, to run alongside the review of the current production, which is in our November 17th issue. Just a reminder, you can respond to our podcast at americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.